Hey, everybody, and welcome back to I Just Want to Talk About the Bible. If this is your first time joining us today, then let me just welcome you and say that I am so glad that you're here. My name is Christian Keeter, and I live in the southeast of the United States of America with my amazing, beautiful, godly wife, Lacey, and our two wonderful daughters, Felicity and Serenity. All right, so today we are talking about something that is simultaneously simple and yet difficult. The concept is simple, and even the execution of this can be simple. However, actually getting ourselves to the point where we are applying what we're talking about today, where it becomes a regular part of our daily lives, that is the hard part. However, I hope by the end of this episode for us all to see the value of today's topic as we look at the scriptures together. So having said that, and before we transition into the first passage we're going to be looking at, I just want to say at the outset that I'm going to be drawing heavily today just on the work of people like Pete Scazzaro and his book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and John Eldridge and his book Resilient, and other pastors and things I've heard too. And I just want to give credit where credit is due. So I just want to say that this episode was influenced a lot by the things I believe that God showed me through hearing them and then seeing how that applied to my life as well, and hopefully how it applies to your life by the end of this episode. So having said that, let's transition into the first passage of Scripture, which is going to be the famous vine and the branches passage from John 15. We're going to be looking just at verses 4 and 5, and this is a passage that we have discussed at length before in episodes, I think it was episodes 15 and 16 of this podcast, yeah, 15 and 16, named Abide Parts 1 and 2, so I will link to those episodes in the show notes if you want to spend more time in around this topic of abiding. But having said that, let's go ahead and read the passage. So John 15, 4 through 5, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So that's the end of the passage. And one thing that I really, really love is something about this passage that I heard Pastor Vance Pittman point out when he says, "What is fruit? Fruit is the life of the vine pressed out through the branches." That's what fruit is. It's the life of the vine pressed out through the branches. And we're told here, Jesus says, to abide in him. There's this image of we're branches, he's the vine, he's the source, he is the source of the nutrients, the power, the fruit, and all that, and it is our responsibility to abide in him, to abide in him. Abide. What does it mean to abide? What it means to abide is going to launch us right into the discussion for today. The word translated as abide is the Greek word meno, meno. And what does meno mean? Well, of course, it means to abide. It means to remain, to not depart, to tarry, to continue to be present. The idea of meno is the idea of staying put. It is to remain somewhere. In fact, I have Blue Letter Bible opened up right now, which is a wonderful resource. I will also put a link to that in the show notes as well in case you're not familiar with it. It's wonderful for studying the Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic, and it will also show, whenever you look at a specific Greek word, all of the scriptures where that word is used. And so just to kind of give you a flavor of what the word meno means, I'm going to read just a few scriptures. So Matthew 10:11 says, this is Jesus speaking, he says, "And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart." So there's this idea of staying. Right? Matthew 11:23, "And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Matthew 26:38, "Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." So you can see, and those are just the first three occurrences of that word in the New Testament. I'll just scroll down. John will say, 10, verse 40, he went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. So we could pick, you know, plenty of other scriptures. Like I said, Blue Letter Bible would give you all these laid out, but you get the idea. It's the idea of remaining, of staying somewhere, of not departing. And so Jesus is saying, remain in me, stay with me, continue to tarry with me. And a lot of what we're talking about here, I did talk about in those lessons, Abide Parts 1 and 2. However, I just want to catch us all up to speed, and there's going to be a different application than the points that we drew out there. But this is, for the sake of our conversation today, this is the statement that I want to make. So Jesus tells us to abide in him, and we've seen that abide means to remain. This is my point. We can't abide in a hurry. We can't remain in a hurry. It's impossible. It's a contradiction of terms. It literally means to stay put, to remain. So can you remain in a hurry? To remain is to remain. To remain is to not depart. It is to tarry. It is to continue to be present. It is to abide. We can't abide in a hurry. One of the beautiful applications of this image of him being the vine and us being the branches is the idea of the vine provides the life to the branches. Jesus is our life source. He is the one who fills us up. He is the one who supplies life to us and lives his life through us. And you can, I'm sure, relate to this, where, you know, as believers, there are seasons where we may not prioritize our relationship with the Lord as much. We may not seek him as much. We may not spend as much time with him. And what is a term that we frequently use to describe that season? Dry. We feel dry. So if we want to live a life of intimacy and closeness with the Lord, then it's going to require time. It's going to require time and us prioritizing this. Like I said, we can't remain in a hurry. That doesn't even make sense. We can't remain in a hurry. Like James says in James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Who seek him. Remember how Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. So we cannot remain in a hurry. Let me share with you just a couple scriptures here. Mark 1:35, it says, this is talking about Jesus, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Now, that was Mark 1:35, but this was not just a one-time thing. This was a recurring thing, as we see in Luke 5:15 through 16, which says, but now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. So we see this was a recurring sort of thing. He would withdraw from the crowds. He would withdraw. He would get alone with his Father, and he would pray. And we see that people are seeking him out. People are looking for him. This is something that Jesus prioritized. And so then the obvious question then becomes, okay, do we prioritize this? Now, before going any further, there's two things I want to say. One is this. This is not meant to be a message of guilt. This is not meant to be a message of, you should feel bad because you don't spend enough time with the Lord, or something like that. No, remember, I mean, I would point back to the most recent episode, episode 69, and say, listen, this is not the foundation of our acceptance to God. The foundation of our acceptance to him is what Jesus did, his death, burial, resurrection on our behalf, and how in Christ we're accepted by God. We are right with God in Christ. So this is not a function of keeping God happy with us or something like that. This is a function of spending time with the one who loves you more than you could even imagine, and just loving him back. Second thing I want to talk about, or just mention briefly here, is that at this point in the conversation, we might be tempted to think that we're talking about what we would have, or what we would just call having a daily quiet time. Just kind of set aside time where we spend time with the Lord, and that being the totality of what's being discussed here. And that is very important. We should have, you know, it should be a regular part of our lives to spend time with the Lord. But that's not quite even what I'm talking about, because that right there, what we just said, can easily become just an act to be completed. It can be, okay, I did my quiet time. I spent time with the Lord and done, check. All right, now I can move on with my day. And that is, you see, that's not letting Jesus be the center. That's not, that's actually kind of putting God off to the side, giving him this window of time, but then him not being the actual center of your life, the focus of it around which everything else revolves. Just in my own life, there have been plenty of times where I'd get up, read my Bible, journal, pray, or something like that, but then the day begins. And I have frequently gotten caught up in the day and not really thought about the Lord again for the majority of the rest of the day. And as I go throughout the day, I feel myself growing tenser or more stressed as the day goes on, and feelings of being overwhelmed slip in, and it begins to build throughout the entire day. And it's almost, it's like, yeah, I spent time with the Lord in the morning, but it's almost so, and you'll know what I mean when I say this, because the Lord is with us always, but it's almost like I left him there. It's always like, okay, yep, go spend time with the Lord, and now I'm not going to, and I don't mean to do it necessarily. It's not like I try to forget the Lord throughout the day, but you know how it can be. You know how busy life can be. And you know how overwhelmed life can feel at times. And how we've all been at the place where we feel like, you know, there's not enough hours in the day to accomplish what we think needs to be accomplished. I found myself feeling things like I said, feeling super tense, stressed, anxiety, and even things on the verge of panic. I've frequently had heart palpitations and things like that. And all of this after spending time with Jesus in the morning. I mean, when you think about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's like, well, where's that throughout the course of the day? It's like, I spent time with Jesus this morning. Where is that throughout the course of the day? Yeah, I spent some time with him in the morning, but have I remained with him? Have I remained with him throughout the course of the day? Have I been abiding in him throughout the course of the day? Or have I just completely pushed him out of my thoughts? Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." And what I was just describing there is certainly not perfect peace. It is quite the opposite. But have I been abiding in him? Or have I not been really thinking about him at all? So what are we talking about today? What we're talking about is Jesus actually being the center of our lives, as opposed to being part of our lives. We may do things like, read our Bibles in the morning, go to church on Sundays, go to small groups, but is he central in our lives, or are those just a list of activities? Does our life revolve around Jesus? So let's look at some biblical examples, or just some scriptures. So we've already mentioned the passage here in Luke 5:15-16, where we see that Jesus would regularly withdraw to desolate places and pray and be with his Father. We can look at the example of Daniel in Daniel 6:10, which this is just part of the verse, but it says, "He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God." Three times a day. Okay. Psalm 55:17, "Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice." Evening and morning and at noon. Okay, so there's three again. Psalm 119:164, "Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous rules." And then notice Psalm 1:1-3, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." And we've talked about that passage from Psalm 1 in the past on this podcast, but just listen to the description of just how refreshed such a person is. He's compared to a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. But what is the commonality between these verses I just read? Well, it's this. It is the continual nature of their relationship with the Lord. Daniel got down on his knees three times a day and prayed. And then here in Psalm 55, evening and morning and at noon. Psalm 119, seven times a day. And then here in Psalm 1, meditating on the law of the Lord day and night. So we see a rhythm here. We see a rhythm, a pattern, everything else is revolving around this. You'll even remember in Daniel's case, this is what gets him thrown into the lion's den because of a law that the king had made. But Daniel, he would not forsake this. So what I'm talking about. I'm talking about incorporating throughout the course of our day an awareness of the Lord. And yes, we can do this just as we go about our day. Like, we should absolutely just all throughout our day, you know, be conscious of the fact that Jesus is with us and do everything we can to fight against doing what I confess that I have unintentionally done plenty of times, which is just not thought about them throughout the day. If we don't make this a focus, if we don't make this important, if we don't make this a priority, it just won't happen. The world is screaming for our attention. And there's so much content out there and so much stuff that could really just hold our gaze. Now we have to make this a priority. And so here is a recommendation for something that I have not done historically, but I want to begin doing. And I don't want this to be legalistic. Like I said in this episode, and even what I'm about to talk about, I'm drawing on the work of people like Pete Scazzaro and John Eldridge and others. But we see this kind of modeled in the scriptures, where it's not just, okay, I just spent time with him in the morning. It is multiple points throughout our days pausing and recalibrating. It is multiple points throughout our days pausing and being with Jesus. Am I saying that this needs to be an hour each time? No, I'm not saying anything like that. In fact, we need to be careful. I want to be cautious not to give super specifics about this, because then it could easily become legalistic. Where it's like, oh, I've got to do it 3 times a day for 30 minutes each time. No, this isn't about legalism. This is about being with Jesus. This isn't about keeping him happy. This isn't about checking a box. Otherwise, like I said earlier, this just becomes another thing to do and adds to the stress as opposed to reduces it. This becomes another task. And no, that's not it. This needs to become a delight, a part of our, just a part of our daily rhythms, and things revolve around this instead of, you know, Jesus kind of revolving around other things and us fitting him in when we can. This is a function of remaining in him, abiding in him, abiding in the vine, staying close to Jesus. Really, this is a function of just being with him, an investment in the relationship. It's just being with him, of reminding yourselves of biblical truths, of being loved by him and loving him back, calibrating yourself, realizing that the things that are really overwhelming you and stressing you out right now, most of them in the grand scheme of things aren't even a big deal. And let's be real, most of them by this time next week won't even be a big deal. I am surprised at how many things seem to resolve themselves, and all the energy I spent being anxious about them, you know, that didn't seem to help. It worked out fine. Can I slow myself down enough to trust? Can I slow myself down enough to trust the Lord and not be in a hyper panic mode? Can I trust him enough to put things on pause and just seek him for a few minutes? Psalm 46:10 famously says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Do we do this? Do we choose to be still? And again, we're talking about at, you know, various points throughout the day, just these moments of calibration. Psalm 5:3 says, "O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch." There's an expectancy there, and watch. There's a pausing, an expectancy, a quieting down, a silencing. Now before I move on, before we start, you know, getting even more hopefully practical with this, I just want to address something that we could easily think when hearing all this. And that thought is, of course, when am I supposed to find time to do this? We could be tempted to think, I'm already super busy, and when can I find time to do this? And so the first thing I would say, and all of this is just said, again, this is coming from somebody who who can, and I just shared with you a little bit of my story and the struggle that I have had with this very thing, and how I just feel, I can easily feel like I don't get enough done. There's always more to get done, feelings of feeling behind, and all of that stuff. I get that. So I'm not, we're all in this boat together. But a couple of thoughts about this. One, be careful, like I said, not to make this into a task. It's not just another task to be completed. This is so much more than this. This is an investment into the most important thing in your life, the most important relationship in your life, the most important component in your life. This is Jesus. Do we trust him enough to give him a little time and to be with him and to seek him and just to be in his presence and to hear his voice and to let him refresh us and refill us and recalibrate us? Do we trust him enough to hand the things that are vying for our attention to him for a few minutes? One thing that I've thought about before is the world existed for a long time before I came into it. And I'm pretty confident that it's going to continue to exist after me too. my point is simply this. The world's not going to end. We don't carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And yet we think we do a lot of times. We feel like we do. Now, second off, I would say this. This is perhaps prying a little bit, but if someone has time to scroll on social media, if someone has time to watch TV, if someone has time to do any sort of recreation at all whatsoever, then there is time. There is time. There is time. It's a matter of what actually matters to us. Another important consideration: if we are so stretched thin, it's possible it's because we have been saying yes to things we should have been saying no to. It's possible because we haven't had good boundaries, and we've been saying yes to every single person around us and perhaps doing the things they want us to do, as opposed to at times saying no to people. And this is something that's close to my heart, because something that I've wrestled with in the past is things like fears of rejection and fears of people being upset with me and so on and so forth. And so that has made in the past saying no a difficult thing. But it's something we have to do. Because remember, a yes to one thing is a no to something else. It's not just yes, 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 yes. You have, 24 hours in the day and limited time, energy, and money and all of that. And so how you allocate these resources, every yes is a no. And so you just want to make sure that the yes that you're saying to one thing is what you want to say yes to, and the no that you're saying is the no you want to say. So these are just considerations. These are principles. I'm not telling you exactly, what needs to do. These are just some considerations. But let's say you say, okay, Christian, good. Yes, I can relate to what you said. I'm in the same boat. What do I do? And I'm gonna set aside some time, just multiple times throughout the day. And you guys, this doesn't necessarily need to be long. Like I said, I'm not saying an hour length of time, but I'm not going to say a length of time because I don't want to make this into a legalistic complete thing. I'm not even going to say how many times. Daniel did 3. We see this evening, morning, and noon thing in Psalm 55. Psalm 119 says 7. And so I'm not going to say how many times or something like that, or how exactly to do this. The point is, okay, I'm turning down the noise on everything else. It could even be when you're riding in the car, and I'm focusing on Jesus, and I'm going to spend some time just with him while I'm driving, while I'm riding. Just put the phone on silent for a few minutes. So, say you're doing this. There's just a few elements I would suggest consider including in this time. Because you want this time to be meaningful, and you don't want this time to just be a time of making requests of God. Although requests are, of course, good, and the Lord taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. So, through the scriptures, the Lord invites us to ask things of him, but we don't want the totality of our relationship with him to be just requests. There needs to be a time where we just commune with him, where we are just with him. And so here are some elements to consider including if you begin to do this and join me in this. So the first one, I heard this phrase. Again, this phrase is not original with me, but it's the phrase benevolent detachment, which is basically the idea of, okay, all of the things that are trying to get my attention right now, I'm going to not focus on those. I'm going to entrust those things to Jesus. Those things are going to go out of my mind right now, and I'm not going to focus on them, because my goal right now is the singular objective is to just be with Jesus. And I trust him enough for me not to exercise mental energy on these things right now. Now, please hear me. Please hear me clearly. I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for things. We should absolutely pray for things. We should pray for things recurringly, regularly. I mean, the Bible talks about like the persistent widow who kept making the same request to that judge, and Jesus uses that as an example of what our prayer life should be like, and the friend at midnight who kept banging on the door until he got his request. Now, we are invited to pray, and if you were to walk away from this saying, I guess I'm not going to make any more specific requests anymore, then you misheard me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying at times, our objective has to simply be to be with Jesus. I don't think we struggle with asking for things. I mean, we learn that pretty early in life. As soon as we learn how to talk as toddlers, I mean, asking for things comes pretty naturally. So, but this is just in addition to that, saying, okay, now I'm just not going to focus on anything. Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And so this is kind of the idea that we're having here, where it's, I'm just going to, yes, those concerns are there. I'm just going to press pause. So just doing that, this sort of pressing pause on your concerns. Another element, of course, prayer. That's what this is going to be. It's a time of just being with the Lord. And like I said, while it's perfectly, you know, appropriate and biblical to make requests, don't let that be the totality of the time. Make the objective to just be with Jesus. This can be a time where you think about and thank the Lord for spiritual realities that you see in the scriptures. For example, Lord, thank you that there's no condemnation for me in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:1. Thank you, Lord, that nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:38 through 39. Thank you, Lord, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Thank you, Lord, for making me your child. 1 John 3:1. Thank you, Lord, for living within me, for the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:9, Galatians 2:20, Colossians 1:27. Thank you, Lord, that you will never leave me nor forsake me, Hebrews 13:5. And you could go on. Those are just some examples. But those are foundational sort of things. And I just want to say, what would your life be like if those spiritual realities that I just said, things that are true about you in Christ, what would your day be like if multiple times throughout the day you just went throughout your day believing those things? Think about how different you would feel and act if you really believed those realities that we just went through. This time of prayer could also be a time of just being with the Lord and like meditating and thinking about on how much he loves you and loving him back. This is also a time just to listen to the Lord and for anything that he would want to say or to show you. This is a time that can incorporate, should incorporate some silence, maybe. Like I said, David in Psalm 3, where he says, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. Also, Ecclesiastes 5, 2 through 3 says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven, and you are on earth, therefore let your words be few. Now, Ecclesiastes 5, just a couple of notes about that. In the context, that's talking about making foolish, rash vows and speaking against that. However, there is this principle here where it's like, okay, I'm going to incorporate silence into my relationship with the Lord and just to listen. Another possible and profitable element to include would be scripture, like we saw in Psalm 1:1-3, meditating on the scripture, thinking on the scripture, reviewing scriptures that you might be trying to memorize. But again, just be so careful not to make this into like a religious exercise. Even as you're meditating on the scripture, just incorporate the Lord with that and ask him to speak to you and listen for the voice of the Spirit through the scripture. And then just one more thing I wrote down was another profitable thing you could do during this time would be reviewing things that God has been teaching you recently. So if you've been journaling things that God has been showing you, reviewing those. James 1:22-25 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So these are just some things that is jotted down, elements to consider including. And again, please, I'm not saying, okay, every single time you need to include all of these things in a certain way. We have got to guard against legalism with this. Like I said, this is not a matter of keeping God happy with us. If we were to think that it is, then this is another task. This is draining. This is something else that's going to just take away time and something we're going to resent and not really want to do. It'll add to the stress of our lives, not remove it. These are just suggestions on what you could do to be with God in a meaningful way throughout the course of the day. So even if you just said, I am going to stop, I'm going to silence my phone, and for 10 minutes, I'm just going to pray. Just going to pray. I'm going to not think about the stuff that's stressing me out. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to thank Him. I'm going to tell Him I love Him. I'm going to just sit there and be conscious of His love for me. I might think about a scripture. You might sit in silence. The goal is just to be with Jesus. In closing, like I said, it's a simple, I could have summed up this entire episode of just saying, hey, guys, I think it's a really great idea, you know, just from looking at the scriptures and my own life and stuff other, you know, godly people have been saying, I think it's a great idea to incorporate deliberate times with the Lord throughout the day. Okay, have a great day. So we could have done that. And so you see, it's a simple concept, but this is hard to do. And why is this hard to do? Well, at least in my life, something I have to acknowledge, something I have to admit, that's not easy to admit, that I don't want to admit, but it's true, is I think I'm addicted to activity, y'all. I think that, yes, I get stressed out by it, but it's like I invariably fill up my time or find something to stress out about, find something that needs to be done, and it's almost like I can't be still. It's like I'm addicted to activity. Which, it's very easy to become, 21st century. So much technology, such a fast pace of life a lot of times that we have to deliberately choose to slow down. But so much is at stake. Remember, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. If we want Jesus, if we want to see the life of Jesus live through us, if we want to be led by the Spirit and filled by the Spirit, then we are going to have to do this. We're going to have to set aside time, seek the Lord, make Him a priority if we want to see Him bear His fruit through us and into the lives of other people as well. Just invite Him in multiple times a day. Not that He's not there, and not that He needs our permission, but just pause. Lord, please, I just give this time to You right now. Please fill this time. Please honor it. I'm setting it aside for You. And the more you do it, I believe the more it'll become a habit. And I have not, this is something I'm starting to do, something I see the need of as I look at myself, as I look at the stress and anxiety and feeling overwhelmed, feeling like I never get things done, and also just not being content with where I see my relationship with the Lord. So I think that, you know, on some level, you might be able to relate to this. So let me close. While I was preparing for this podcast, a dear friend sent me a text. He's a really godly guy. And he and I had actually talked on the phone on the way when I was driving to where I am now recording this. And he sent me a message while I was setting this up. And part of the message was really relevant to our discussion today. And so I'm going to end with this. This is what he said. He said, when you study the Bible, is the main focus on seeing what God is telling you about what you should be doing? Or seeing something about who God is, His character, attributes? And I have yet to respond to that message because I was preparing for this, but what a wonderful question. Do we have time? Do we have space in our time with the Lord where we just go to be with Him? So I could go on, but I think the point has been made. And let me pray for you guys real quick and for myself, because this is something I'm sure the enemy will oppose it. And and just try to distract us from this in any way that he can, because this is leaning into what we're made for, which is relationship with God. This is leaning into what we're talking about doing today is a step in the direction of the very reason we exist. And think about what I just said. We are stepping in the direction of the purpose that we exist. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, Lord, we need your help. We really do. I pray for myself and for all my dear brothers and sisters who are listening, Lord. Lord, I believe that all of them care about their relationship with you, that they want to know you more. They're listening to this podcast, Jesus. They want a closer relationship with you. And Lord, I just pray that you bless them. I pray that you meet with them in a meaningful way. I pray that they are hearing your voice throughout the day and that you give them the discernment to recognize it when you speak. Lord, please help us. Please help me with this. Please help us to prioritize you above everything else, that you are the treasure, that you are the most valuable thing in our lives. Please help us to set aside times to do this, and please help us not to be legalistic about this and not to make it into a task, but let it be a delight and a refreshment. So, Lord, I just pray that you bless everyone listening right now. I pray they feel your presence in a really meaningful way, and that you tell them in a way that's undeniable, clear, and personally, like, meaningful to them in some specific ways, how much you love them. And Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. All right. Well, I just want to talk about the Bible is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, which means that any and all gifts given are tax deductible. If you feel so led to give, instructions on how to do so can be found in the footer of every podcast episode description. And thank you so much to those of you who have already given. All right, guys, until next time, God bless you.